Last Sunday, we began our new series. Really, it was the introduction. I had intended for us to start with the first message this Sunday, the first non-introduction message at least, but decided to take one more week to sort of further lay some groundwork for us. An introduction part two, if you will. I don't want to simply repeat what was said last Sunday. I don't want to belabor the point. I don't want us stuck in a place that we're ready to move from. But I do want to make sure that we don't miss the importance, even the necessity, for what we're doing, where we're headed. I hope and pray each and every Sunday will be powerful and impactful, educational, obviously, most of all, transformational. I want every Sunday to be that for us here at New Life. I want all the Sundays, I want all the messages of this series to be that. In each one, God give an opportunity to speak to us, to change us, to prepare us, to help us, to equip us, to empower us. In each one, God given place to do something powerful in this place, in us, in our lives, and even in the lives of others, as we go from here committed to sharing what God has done for us. For us in here. I want that. I hope and pray for that. And yet, that being said, all that's to come, I don't want us to forget this, the beginning. I don't want us to move off of this foundation, if you will. All that's to come, I want us to consider it all. I want us to respond to it all, to each message, through the filter of this that we heard last Sunday and will hear today. I want us to make the connection, always making the connection, what we will talk about, why we'll talk about it. It all comes back to this. It all needs to come back to this. The beginning, the foundation, the introduction, last Sunday and this one. I believe it. I feel very strongly about it. My guess would be that you believe and feel the same. I think it's because of that, how I believe, how I feel, how many in the church today would believe and feel. It's because of that that this series of messages has come to be. It's because of that that I sense the timeliness of this series, the necessity of it, the importance of it. I believe it. I feel very strongly about it. You maybe do too. In our culture, even in our church, true Christianity has been severely compromised. The devil's work is to create a counterfeit. The devil's work is to create a Christianity that doesn't pass the test. It's not the true. It's not the real. It's the fake and the false. It's a lie masquerading as truth. It's the Christianity that is in fact no Christianity at all. And this is a most prevalent thing in our culture today, in our churches today. Listen, among our families, among our friends today, a most prevalent thing and a most dangerous one as well. Even eternally dangerous. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. True Christianity has been severely compromised. And it's jeopardizing the eternity of many. Many that have bought, if you will, the fake and the false. Many that have put their trust in the value of something that has no value. It's the fool's gold, not the real. It's the cubic zirconia, not the diamond. It's the piece of junk, not the Cadillac. Many that have been deceived by the devil's counterfeit, by his lie. Their trust in a faith that is a dead faith, a faith then that cannot save them. Their trust in a Christianity that is in fact no Christianity at all. It doesn't make them right with God. It doesn't prepare them for an eternal place in heaven with God. Of course it doesn't. It can't. Only the real and true Christianity can do that. And this is the lie. This is the counterfeit. All it can do, all it does is deceive people into thinking they have something that they do not have. True Christianity. The truth of Christianity has been severely compromised. I believe it. My guess is that you do too. Really, in fact, it's more than that though, isn't it? I don't really have to think of it as a belief. You don't either. All we have to do is look around us. All we have to do is read the reports, study the surveys. All we have to do is take hardly even a close look at what the world out there is calling Christianity. Some of that world, our family, our friends, what they're claiming as the truth that is in fact an absolute lie. All we have to do is take hardly even a close look at what many of our pulpits are preaching as Christianity. Listen, it doesn't pass the test. Not the test of his word, not the test of truth. It's the devil's counterfeit. It's a lie. I believe it. I feel very strongly about it. You maybe do too. True Christianity has been severely compromised. And so then this, the real and the true, must be identified again so that we can take hold of those things again, ensuring that we've not bought into some counterfeit, ensuring that we've not been deceived by the devil's lie, ensuring that we've not put our hope and our trust in a dead faith that doesn't save, a fake, a false Christianity that can't either. The real and the true must be identified again. It's really the same, but stated from more a negative kind of perspective. We also identify the fake and the false. We confront that in our own lives, in our own church. We don't try to explain it away. We don't change things to make them fit our lifestyles, our wishes, our wants, what culture has approved and deemed acceptable and good. We don't argue. We don't resist. We don't fight. No, we don't. Not against the truth. Not against God's word. We identify the fake and the false so that we recognize it, so that we know it, can see if it's crept in here, so that we can confront it, so that we can let go of it, rid our lives of those things, ensuring that our Christianity, it's not the fake, it's not the false, it's not the counterfeit, it's not the lie. This is what we do. We identify the true, we confront the false, so that as Christians, true Christians living in and living out a true Christianity, we can stand against the compromise. We can stand in resistance to it, and so that we can as well speak up and speak out against it. True Christianity is under attack. And though for sure that attack would exist on many fronts, ultimately the attack against it is the compromise of it. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Do you understand? This is the attack. This is the compromise where evil is called good and good called evil, and that called Christianity. In light of that, this is what we do for the Sundays, the messages to come. We stand at the crossroads and look. We ask for the ancient paths. We ask where the good way is so that we can walk in that and find rest for our souls. This is what we do. We do some recalibrating. Rather, better to say, we let the Spirit, by way of God's truth, God's Word, we let the Spirit do some recalibrating of the instrument panel that is our lives so that we're not even 1 degree off. We let the Spirit protect us from drifting off course. We let the Spirit protect us from shipwrecking our faith. We let the Spirit help us from jeopardizing our very eternity. This is what we do. We strengthen, we reinforce, we shore up the foundations of a biblical worldview. We define, we filter everything that is our lives, everything that is our Christianity, through the lens of Scripture, God's Word, the truth. This is what we do. We return to the basics. The ABCs of Christianity, if you will, we return again to the truth. In full disclosure, this is also what we do. We draw some battle lines. We enter the fight. Do you understand? Where the truth compromises with the lie, there is no fight. But when the truth confronts the lie, stands against it, in opposition to it, that's where the fight is. Do you understand? The boxing announcer used to say it this way, just before naming the fighters, ladies and gentlemen, he would say, let's get ready to rumble. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but in many ways, this is the truth. Listen, New Life. What we do over the next number of Sundays, we go to war. We step into the ring. We go to where the fight is. We take a stand against the world, its compromise of Christianity. We take a stand against the devil, his counterfeit Christianity, his lies, his deception. We declare the truth unashamedly, unwaveringly, without compromise. We call the good good, and we call the evil evil. And listen, this, the truth. Let me both challenge you and prepare you when we do that with what we're going to do in the weeks to come. That's going to put us against the world and the world against us. Can I say it this way again? Not meaning to sound dramatic. What we're going to do in the coming weeks, we're going to give you a whole bunch of ways to get yourself in trouble. A whole bunch of ways to get yourself unfollowed by friends on Facebook. Get yourself written up at work. Get yourself labeled with titles that speak to injustice, hate, bigotry, poor biblical understanding. What you'll really be doing, though, taking a stand for the truth. Identifying and clarifying the true Christianity, identifying and confronting the false, what you'll really be doing, calling the Christianity that is in fact no Christianity, calling it that, calling the devil's counterfeit the counterfeit, calling the fake and the false the fake and the false, calling the lie a lie, what you'll really be doing, calling good good and evil evil, and the devil, the world, listen, maybe your family, maybe your friends, the people you work with, maybe they'll hate that. And they'll hate you for doing that. That being said, let me encourage you, let me remind you, listen, my brother, my sister, what your Lord has said. Matthew 5 and verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, people persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. One says it this way, we are in good company in enduring the world's hatred. I say it this way, we're about to be in good company when we take a stand for the truth and the world hates us and persecutes us for it. Do you understand? We step into the good company. The people and the prophets that were persecuted before, treated wrongly before, because of their stand for the truth, because of their stand for God's word and God's way. True Christianity is under attack, and the attack against it, it's the compromise of it. And the fight then for us, the point of the weeks to come for us, that we have nothing to do with the fake. We have nothing to do with the false. Rather, instead, we take hold of to never let go of the truth. Let me share with you three things this morning. Three reasons why I believe it's so important for us to identify again the true Christianity. Take some Sundays to recalibrate our lives to the true. Recognize that the true is established in and on the Bible, only in and on the Bible. A biblical worldview. Why it's so important for us to stand at the crossroads and look, examine ourselves, take the test. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, ensuring that we're walking there. Three reasons why I believe it's so important for us to do that. And not just in light of where our culture is at today, where we see battle lines being drawn today, but as well, really more importantly, three biblical reasons why identifying the true, confronting the fake and the false, why it's so important, so good for us to do that. First, this true Christianity, it's storm withstanding. Only the true is that. Only the true. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You recognize it in the words of Jesus. His words. His word. That's the foundation. A Christianity built on anything else is really no Christianity at all. One says this, for the followers of Jesus, the voice of the people must never be taken as the voice of God. We live under a pressure that numbers are truth, and numbers tell the truth, and numbers make the truth. 100 million views and likes still never add up to truth, wisdom, or what is right and good. Do you recognize in that the potential for a compromised Christianity, the reality of a compromised Christianity in our day? Isn't it true? Doesn't it seem that truth is based now on the voice of the people? If it's popular, if it's acceptable in social media, if social media would have you believing, that's what everyone believes, that's the right thing to believe. If promoting that, whatever that is, if promoting that gets you a bunch of likes and views, that's what defines truth. Listen, I don't say it to sound rude or mean, but when you have a culture, when you have a generation today that's more interested, that's more tuned into TikTok than they are the words of Jesus, this is the recipe for disaster. For a disastrous, fake, and false counterfeit Christianity. One says it this way. Unfortunately, the bandwagon seems to be replacing the Bible. Matters are decided on popularity rather than principle and horizontal pressure over vertical authority. Listen, you understand, this is not right. This is not the way that it should be. We must discover what God says, His words and His word. This is the foundation, the ancient path that is right and good. This is the true Christianity. And no matter the bandwagon, the popularity or pressure, the likes or the views, His words and His word, we must hold firmly to that, all of that. One says this: if you believe what you like in the Bible and reject what you don't like, it's not the Bible you believe, but yourself. Listen, Christianity, true Christianity, it's believing the Bible and not just the parts of it we like, all of it, because it's His word. You recognize this as well in the words of Jesus: the real test comes when the storm comes. Listen, there's a storm raging in our culture today. We read it a moment ago, once more, Isaiah 5, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's the storm. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. That's the storm. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's the storm. The real test. When that storm comes, it's come right now. When that storm rages, it's raging right now. Only the house built on His words and His word, only the true Christianity will stand. Build your life on something other than Him, something other than His word. Call it Christianity. It's not. It's the fake and the false. It's the counterfeit. It's the devil's lie. It's the devil's deception. But call it Christianity if you want. When the storm comes, you'll fall prey to it. Your house will fall, and great will be its fall. Hurricane Andrew ravaged Florida in the early 90s. There was an area where the wreckage resembled a war zone, and yet one house remained standing, still firmly anchored on its foundation, as if there had been no hurricane to come through. Asked why the house had stood through the storm, the homeowner replied, I built this house myself. I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane, and it did. You understand? Listen, my brother, my sister, God has given to you, God has given to us His storm-proof building code. Matthew chapter 7, it's His words and His word, our obedience to it. And do you further understand, in the midst of the storm that's raging today, how important it is for us to ensure that we're building according to code. The code that is simply this: God has said. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen to me, dad, mom, listen to me, grandpa, grandma, this the building code to ensure your house doesn't fall. God has said. Listen to me, New Life, lest we go the way of other churches that have gone before us, lest we go the way of compromise, this the building code that God has given to us. God has said. We stand on that. We build on that. True Christianity, only the true is storm withstanding. Do you understand then why we do the examination? Why we take the test? Do you understand why we take time to stand at the crossroads and consider our ways, asking for the ancient paths, the good and the right way? Why we do the recalibration work? Do you understand why we consider, again, our worldview, ensuring that it's a biblical one? Listen, we must do that so that our house doesn't fall. The storm has come. It's already here. It's going to get worse. What we're doing over these next Sundays, we build with the storm-proof building materials. We build on the storm withstanding foundation so that no matter the storm, how bad it gets, our house will stand, built on His words and His word and our obedience to it. Second this morning, true Christianity, it's fruit producing. Only the true is that. Christianity, salvation, a relationship with Jesus, it's a life transforming experience. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if anyone's in Christ, you know it. He's a new creation. Listen, the old is gone. The new has come. In Ephesians chapter 5, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Don't be foolish. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Do you see the transformation? Do you see the change? A new creation, no longer the old, not any of the old. The new has come, after all. No longer the darkness, not any of the darkness. We're in the light now. We live then as children of the light. We used to live as children of the dark, but we've been changed. Out of the dark, now into the light. We have nothing to do with the dark anymore. We have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness anymore. We live to please the Lord. We live in wisdom, not the foolishness, not anymore. We don't get drunk. We don't live in debauchery. We're filled with the Spirit. We live in and by the Spirit. In all things, we stay in step with the Spirit, following His leading, fulfilling His desires for our lives. Do you see? It really is true. We've been changed. Completely, radically changed. Listen, it's the test that distinguishes the true from the false, the real from the fake. So listen to me this morning. If your Christianity has brought no change into your life, you were the old creation. You still are. Doing all the old things, living in all the old ways. You were in the dark, you live like you were, you still do. Except that now, you do all that while calling yourself a Christian. You still only live to please yourself, not Him. You're still living in the world's foolishness instead of God's wisdom. You're still all about the drunkenness and debauchery, not the Spirit, not His work, not His leading, except that now you do all that while calling yourself a Christian. Listen, just the truth, the real talk this morning. Your Christianity, it doesn't pass the test. It's the counterfeit. It's the lie. It's the Christianity that is no Christianity at all. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, my friends, what good is it to say you have faith when you don't do anything to show that you really do have faith? Can that kind of faith save you? The Living Bible says it this way. So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is no faith at all. It's dead and useless. Verse 26, the body without the Spirit is dead. In the same way, faith without good works is dead. From the contemporary English, anyone who doesn't breathe is dead, and faith that doesn't do anything is just as dead. Listen, the simple truth this morning, the fake, the false, the lie, the devil's counterfeit, it produces nothing. It's a faith that doesn't do anything to show that you have faith. It's a faith that produces no fruit. It's a faith that doesn't show itself by good works. It's a faith that doesn't do anything. And the true, it's the exact opposite, in fact. True Christianity, only the true produces fruit, brings change, even a radical transformation in one's life. It results in good works. Living faith is a faith that shows itself. Dead faith doesn't. And the dead is the lie. It's the counterfeit. It's the devil's deception. True Christianity, it's fruit producing. The fruit of a changed life. Real transformation. The fruit produced by the Spirit. Love and joy. Peace and patience. Kindness and goodness. Faithfulness and gentleness. Self-control. The fruit produced by good works. It's the fruit produced for the kingdom. It's our value, if you will, maybe better to say, our productivity in the kingdom of God. That's the fruitfulness produced. Not living for self, not living for our agenda, Not living for the expansion of our own kingdom. No, no way. We're servants of the King. We live, we give ourselves, we give our everything to Him, to His kingdom. True Christianity, it's fruit producing. And listen to these words from John the Baptist. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The axe is already at the root of the tree. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Listen to these words from Jesus in John 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Do you understand why we do the examination? Why we take the test? Do you understand why we take the coming weeks to ask for the ancient paths, the good, the right way? Why we do the recalibrating? Listen, so that we don't settle in fruitlessness. The fake and the false, the counterfeit, the lie, the deception, the Christianity that is no Christianity at all. So that we don't settle in that and find ourselves then cut off. Cut down and thrown into the fire. His words, not mine. Do you understand why the examination, why the test, why the ancient paths, why the recalibrate, why the biblical worldview? So that we ensure for ourselves the true Christianity. Not fruitlessness, but rather fruitfulness. Because we are His true disciples. And for this very reason, He has chosen us that we might bear fruit that will last. Be pruned then so that we might even bear more fruit. All for the Father's glory. True Christianity, it's storm withstanding. It's fruit producing. And finally this morning, it's light and life giving. Only the true is that. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. The Passion Translation says it this way. You can rationalize it all you want and justify the path of error you have chosen, but you'll find out in the end that you took the road to destruction. The Message says it like this. There's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. It's man's way. It's a compromised Christianity. Rationalize and justify. Looks harmless enough. Looks good enough. Look again. It doesn't pass the test. It's the counterfeit. It's the lie. It's the fake. It's the false. So, of course, it leads to death. It leads to destruction, to a lost eternity, to hell. Only the true leads to light and life. And this isn't the true. The book of Judges in the Old Testament, it's described as a period of time. It's come to be known as the dark years, the dark ages of Hebrew history. You read the book, you'll understand the description. It's not just because of the specific sins mentioned in the book, though. The idolatry, the turning away from God. No, it's really more than just that. There is an underlying problem that comes up on multiple occasions. Judges 17, Judges 18, Judges 19, Judges 21. We read verses like this. In those days, Israel didn't have a king. The people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. You read the book, you'll recognize it. In some ways, the entire book really is the illustration of the truth of Proverbs. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. The result truly was darkness, destruction, and death. The problem? There was no king. And the result, as one puts it, when you remove the king, man becomes king. When man becomes king, truth becomes personal. When truth becomes personal, you get to choose how to define your truth. You get to do then whatever you want. Whatever you decide is right and true in your own eyes. Another says this, it's often supposed that when people stop believing in God, they believe in nothing. It's worse than that. When people stop believing in God, they believe in anything. Listen, you know it to be true. Our culture today has removed the king. Our culture today, man has made himself to be king. We believe anything. And really, it's worse than just that. We believe anything and we call it the truth. We've removed the king and positioned ourselves to be the decider of truth. I read recently, a pastor tells the story of watching an episode of the old sitcom, Everyone Loves Raymond. Ray's brother Robert moves in with his girlfriend Amy, unbeknownst to her parents, portrayed as a very religious couple. They believe in marriage, not some kind of live together arrangement. They don't know about Amy and Robert. But they show up unannounced to the apartment one morning, and he's there. They figure out what's going on. There's TV drama that ensues, culminating in this from Amy. Mom, Dad, I have decided it's not a sin for Robert to spend the night. Would that it were just TV. It's not. It's the very definition of our culture today, of a compromised Christianity today. I've decided this is not a sin. I've decided this isn't wrong. I've decided it's okay for me to do this, live like this, do whatever I want. Listen, I've decided is the worst mistake we could ever make related to our Christianity and how we're to live in the true Christianity. Do you understand? We're living in Judges all over again. We're watching an entire culture choose a way that looks right to them. There's no king. We want nothing to do with the king, nor his word. So we make up our own truth. We do whatever we want. We walk in the way that seems right to us, and we rationalize it, and we justify it, but nothing changes. It's still the road that leads to destruction. The way that leads straight to hell. It's darkness and it's death, not light and life. Listen to me, if you're in the room this morning, today is the day to get off that road, to stop with your own way and what seems right in your eyes and begin to walk in the light and the life of God, His Word, true Christianity. And says this, we live in a culture where everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but not everyone is entitled to their own truth. Listen, man can't decide what's true and right. You can have your opinion. You can't have your truth. Truth is truth. It's not your truth. It's not my truth. Your truth can't be different from my truth. Truth is truth. You can have your opinion. I can have mine. But we can't all have our own truth. Man can't decide what's true and right. That's not our prerogative. We can't do that. We're not qualified to do that. Listen to these words from Jesus in Matthew 12. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jeremiah the prophet, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you understand? If it's our way, if it's what we think is right, our truth, it's come from a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. How can it possibly be what's right and what's true? It can't be. We can't decide that. Truth must come from outside of us, not from within us. Listen, any deciding of the right and true from within ourselves Look again, my friend. It's not right nor true. It's not light nor is it life. It's darkness and it's death. It's the fake and the false. It's the lie. It's the counterfeit. It's the compromise. Listen, the only one that can give us truth is God Himself. His word. Listen, let all the world decide that something is okay. Let all the world decide that something is acceptable and right. Let all the world decide something is true. But if God's word goes against it, listen, no matter all the world, we go with God's word. Because it's God's word and God's way. This is the light and the life. Everything, listen to me. Everything else is darkness and death. True Christianity doesn't live there. Not in the darkness nor in the death. No, no way. True Christianity, that's living in the light. That's living in the life. Listen, if it's not that for you this morning, if you've removed the king, if you've decided, if you've chosen your own way, what's right in your own eyes, listen to me this morning, doesn't pass the test. It's the fake, the false, it's the counterfeit, it's the lie, it's the devil's deception. It's darkness and death, not light and life. It's not the true Christianity. My call to you this morning, listen, my friend, it's time for repentance. It's time today to turn to the Lord, to turn truly to the Lord. One says it this way, Christianity speaks to our eternity, and eternity is too long to be wrong. And for that, we ensure that ours is the true Christianity. We take the test, the true. It's storm withstanding, it's fruit producing, it's light and life giving. And if we've bought into something other than that, something that is not that, we confront that today. We recalibrate today. We stop the drift today. We let go of the fake and the false, and we embrace the true. Father, I pray this morning, would you help us to do that? Each and every one in this room, would you turn our hearts? Would you turn our minds? Would you turn our very lives to the truth this morning? I pray for each one here today. Lord, I pray for your help, for your strength. I pray for each one this morning, the identifying of the truth. I pray for each one. It's difficult. We don't always like it. I pray for the conviction of your spirit where there's the confrontation with the faults in our own lives. I wonder if some in the room would recognize there is an area of their life not built on your words nor your word. There's compromise. We just call it the way it is. There's disobedience. There's rebellion. We know that Jesus, your word says that, but we're not going to live like that. We're not going to do that. We're going to choose our own way. We're going to go our own way. Lord, by your spirit, would you remind that one, that two or three, that many in the room this morning, oh, but that's a house built on the sand. And in the midst of the storm, that thing's going to fall. Spirit, would you help us this morning? Would you work a change in us this morning? Repentance. We're going to do different. We're going to decide different. We're going to hear the words of the Lord. We're going to know and study the words of the Lord. We're going to obey the words of the Lord. We're going to build on the rock today. The storm-proof building material. The storm withstanding foundation, what God has said. Where before it was what culture said. It's what our tradition said. It's what we just felt was good and right and acceptable. Forget it all. We're standing today on what God says. Would you help us? Lord, help us in that, I pray. Lord, would you confront in our lives the lack of change? Would you confront in our lives the fruitlessness? Lord, there's not been a change in our mind, not the way we think. There's not been a change in our mouth, not the way that we talk. There's not been a change in the way we live. There's not been a change in our calendar. There's not been a change in our checkbook. There's not been a change. There's not been a transformation inside of us. There's still fruitlessness. There's still worldliness. There's still darkness. There's still foolishness. There's still drunkenness and debauchery. Jesus, would you help us this morning? Would you remind us that we live in the true? And the true is real change and transformation. We're children of the light. We're led by the Spirit. Help us, Lord, I pray. Lord, the one in the room that recognizes that's the old way. That's the old nature, but I'm a new creation. And that old should be gone. That old has to be gone. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, would you help today? That old is gone right now in Jesus' name. I'm a new creation. I'm going to live in the new. I'm going to live in fruitfulness that brings my Father glory. Jesus, would you help? You know each and every heart in the room. Would you help? Would you help us to live in light and in life this morning? Not our way. Not what we've decided is right and good. We don't have that prerogative. We can't do that. We turn to you. We look outside of ourselves. We turn to you. We don't want to live in death and darkness. We want to live in the life and in the light. So we turn. We turn from ourselves. We turn to doing everything that's right in our own eyes. We turn from the way that seems right to us. We turn again to the King. We let the King come in again and rule and reign in and over us. Just before we go this morning, before I pray the blessing of the Lord over you, would you respond to the word of the Lord this morning? Listen, would you take inventory? Would you take the test this morning? Would you put yourself under examination, if you will? Would you let the Spirit, come on, do you sense the Spirit wanting to do some recalibrating in you? Do you sense the Spirit speaking to your heart? There's been some drifting. That needs to be fixed. That needs to be corrected. Let me bring you back. Let me bring you back. Let the Lord do that in you. Let's not rush too quickly from this moment. More important than anything I've said is what the Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning, right now, in this moment. What the Spirit is prompting you, my brother, my sister, you must do what the Spirit is prompting you. Don't argue this morning. Don't resist that. Don't fight against that. Don't explain away. Listen to what the Spirit is saying and say yes to Him this morning. Jesus, we say yes to you this morning. We say yes to you this morning. Lord, I pray help and strength for each one in the room. Lord, unless I miss my guess, for each one, there's a word that comes to us this morning from your Spirit of this that we need to apply to our own hearts and our own lives. Too much darkness, death, and destruction still in us. Too much fruitlessness. Lord, you know I sense it in my heart. Too much fruitlessness. That's not the true. That's not the real. I can't settle in fruitlessness. I must be fruitful for my Father's glory. Do a pruning work in and on me. Help me to be fruitful in my life, in my walk with you. Jesus, help each one. Each one this morning. We respond to your word today. We say yes, Jesus, to the work you're wanting to do in us. We stand on your word that we've heard, your word that you've spoken to our heart, to our mind. We stand on that. And we recognize in that, this house is not going to fall. This house is going to stand firm on the foundation that is Jesus. His word and words and our obedience to it. Help each one this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord? As under shepherd of the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly, I declare over you the word and the will of the Lord, that you would be blessed in this place, that you would be blessed as you leave this place, you would be blessed as you go into the week ahead. Listen. Listen, my brother, my sister. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace in Jesus' name. Would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.